that has been prophesied a long time ago. These things are now fulfilled. And this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God has raised from the dead and has made a Savior unto Israel. He's made him a Savior unto Israel. And that's what the angel said he would be, wasn't it? You know, when he told Mary, he said, "I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And beloved, that's the faith now that's been once delivered to the saints. We're not justified by the deeds of the law, and people that try to do that stumble at the stumbling stone that's been laid in Zion, the apostle said. And the nation, the Jewish nation as a whole, stumbled at that. They went about to establish their own righteousness by the deeds of the law, and they failed to see. There was a veil over their eyes. They were trusting in Moses and in the law that come from Sinai. Just as Moses, you know, he went up there on Mount Sinai, and when he come down, his face shone so bright, it scared the people, and they were afraid to look at him. And he put a veil over his face so that he could talk and converse with the people there in Israel and give them the law and tell them about what God had ministered to him and to them there on Mount Sinai. And when he'd turn around to go back and talk with God, he'd take the veil off. But when he turned back around, he'd put the veil back over his face. And the Apostle Paul says, "A veil is over the mind of the nation of Israel yet." There's many, and he was talking about the children of God. He's not talking about those that are dead and alienated from God in sin. And he's talking about the children of God that's trying to be acceptable to God by performing the deeds of the law, by trying to justify themselves by the deeds of the law. And this whole book here and many passages in other books tells us that that cannot be done, that there's no law given whereby we might receive righteousness, or we might receive life in that sense. And the reason why is because Jesus himself is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Jesus says that he that believeth on me and him that sent me hath everlasting life. That is, he's born already of God, and he has everlasting life. If you believe the essence of the gospel, beloved, if you find a witness in your heart this morning that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, that is, that he performed everything required to satisfy the demands of the law, to the satisfaction of a just and a thrice holy God who is unchangeable and immutable and changes not. And when he sees the law, he sees it in all of its perfection, and the law demands perfection. It don't allow for one little tiny sin. It demands perfection. And he that transgresses the law in one point has transgressed it in it all. In other words, beloved, if you've ever committed a sin and transgressed the law, you are condemned in the eyes of this holy and just God who demands perfection. When it comes to the law, it must be kept in its perfection. And Jesus done just that, beloved. He was made of a woman and made under the law. And he fulfilled every demand to the satisfaction of God, his heavenly Father. Said he would not be, Isaiah said he would not be discouraged. He would not, he set his face like flint. And he headed for the cross. And the first thing he done after he was baptized was, he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days. And the devil threw everything at him he had, beloved, just as he did the first Adam. He come to the first Adam, and Adam was in the Garden of Eden. But this Adam was out in the wilderness with the scorpions and the serpents and hungered. And he hungered for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil said, "If you be the Son of God, why don't you command this bread stone here to turn into bread and eat?" The Lord said, "Man does not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Beloved, and I'd love to ask this question to a lot of this unbelieving world today. Where do you find the every word out of the mouth of God? Where would you go to look for that? The people are always talking about what God has said, and and not as God's laws. Where are you going to find it, beloved, if you don't find it right here? I'd love to know where you find it, and how would you know about it? People say that Jesus, that he was a good man, and that he was, he set forth a lot of good ideas, but he's not God. He's not divine. Well, where did they get the idea? How did they know about Jesus? Where would they ever find anything about him at all, acknowledge he's just a good man, if it didn't come right here to this book? And so, beloved, now that faith has come, you see, now that faith is manifest, and now that the Lord has come, who's the object of our faith, and he's given us, in times past, he's spoken to the fathers by the prophets, and he gave the law by the ministration of angels, the book of Hebrews said. But now he's spoken to us by his Son. And those that heard him have put it down, that they might tell others, and they might tell others about it. And so now the faith has come. And beloved, to those whom faith has been a reality to have embraced this faith once delivered to the saints, and who believe that Jesus is the Christ, he says that when you are baptized, when you call for baptism, then you are putting on Christ. You are putting on, you are confessing before your friends and your neighbors and to the public at large that you believe that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, and that you're going to cease from all of your works of righteousness to try to justify yourself before God, and you're going to trust in Christ. You're going to trust in God's Son, the one that he sent, who performed the law in all of its perfection to where it satisfied him, to where he raised him from the dead. And you want to go down in the liquid grave and confess that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose again unto the justification of life. And now you stand justified. You stand justified before God Almighty because Christ died for you and put your sins away. Because the sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God took your sins in his own body and bore them to the tree. Because he was whipped when you ought to have been whipped. Because he was scourged when you ought to have been scourged. Because you broke the law. He didn't break the law. He was obedient unto death and fulfilled every jot of the law. But yet your sins have condemned you, but he took them in his own body and bore them to the tree. You say, what must I do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? That was what they said the day on Pentecost, wasn't it? When Peter began to tell them about the Son of God that they had crucified. And not only they, beloved, but your sins and my sins crucified him. If we're his, he bore them in his own body to the tree and took them into a land uninhabited. He took them right down in the grave. That's what the law demanded, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, shall not live. It cannot live in the sight of a holy and a just God. It must die. It must die a natural death. It must die a spiritual death. It must be banished from the light and the presence of a holy God forever and forever and forever and forever. Because it cannot be justified. It cannot be tolerated in the eyes of a just God. So how would he justify a sinner? He laid your sins on his Son. He sent his only begotten Son. And that he might be made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so now, God freely, freely has given us the gift of his Son. Freely. It had to be freely, because we certainly didn't deserve it. We couldn't demand it. So he freely, of his own will, give us his Son. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. See, he gave them to us. And he bore our sins in that holy, sinless, harmless body that was born of a virgin. He bore him to the cross. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God is just, and he had to condemn sin, and he was made sin. And so he condemned him. And when he separated him from his love and his presence there, I don't know whether it was for the 3 hours it was dark or how long or when it was, but we can be assured that the Son of God suffered the torment of hell for your soul and mine, that we might be justified. Justified. Therefore, now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, now that faith has come, we're no longer shut up under the schoolmaster, but we stand clearly as grown sons and daughters, justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now that we've had the gospel preached to us, now that we've believed it, now that the word has come to us, not only in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, we are full-grown sons and daughters. We are no longer children under tutors, for the schoolmaster has brought us to Christ, and we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now are ye the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so we are full-grown children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And those Jews that are the children of God, but yet do not trust in Christ Jesus, are said yet to be under behind the veil. They're still children under tutors, not grown. Beloved, can you see what great favors that God has done for us? What a great deliverance he has given us and brought us through. When you are justified by faith in Christ Jesus, you don't have to struggle to keep the Sabbath day. I mean, not that I'm advocating breaking the laws of God. Now, don't get me wrong. But don't you, if you were ever under the burden of trying to keep the law, when I first made a profession of faith, I was going to keep the law. I was going to make my wife keep the law and my neighbor if I could. And beloved, if you've ever experienced that, you know what a burden that gets to be. First thing you know, you're in a corner and you can't move, beloved. You're going to keep the law, and everywhere you turn, you're breaking the law. And you're a dead man. Oh, the beauty of Christ. Oh, how sweet the feet of them that come preaching peace on the hills of Zion when you get in that condition. Oh, the beauty of a justification by the life, burial, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Justified by faith in Christ. May the Lord add his blessings to his precious word. Beloved, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, that we might believe. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. What a struggle it is in this world to trust in Christ, to follow on to know him, to put on that robe of righteousness and to walk in it in faith, in confidence, in much assurance. It's a struggle every day to try to walk by faith, to follow after the Spirit and fulfill not the desires of the flesh, to be carried away with the twinkles and the tinkles of this world, but just to trust in Christ, to follow on to know him, and to wait for that grand and glorious day when the veil, the skies apart like a scroll, it said, and he'll appear, he'll be here, and we'll see him face to face. See him face to face. We'll publish the doors of the church open if there's one or more here that's never put on Christ publicly in that sense. You'd love to be baptized and stand up publicly and say, I believe that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law in his life that he lived here, that he is the Son of God, and that he has justified all that believe in him. There's great peace and calmness of soul that comes to the soul that's blessed to do that, beloved. There's a great salvation in it. It doesn't put away the filth of the flesh, Peter said. No, it won't put that away. Jesus' blood done that, didn't it? The blood of Jesus, that's what it took. As far as God the judge is concerned, judiciously and legally, The blood of Jesus Christ has justified you before God. But by faith, you are justified in here when you put on Him by baptism and portray His death, burial, and resurrection in your confession that you believe your old man is dead and has risen in newness of life to serve Jesus, to serve Him, and to worship Him, and to praise Him. If there's one or more here that would love to do that, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. What shall we sing, brethren? Page number 86. And we'll sing this hymn, "The Doors of the Church Are Published Open." And sing when you're ready, brethren.
Alas, that did my Savior flee, and did my sovereign die, would a gifted bone that sacred head for such a worm as I, thy body slain, dear Jesus Christ, and bathed in its own blood, while all exposed to wrath divine, the Lord the sufferer stood.
High Hill Church this time.
Is any up this way? I haven't heard of them yet. Are there any other announcements?
On Saturday, before the fifth Sunday, we're singing at the Family Baptist Library on 87th between Reachville and Burlington. That's Saturday before the fifth Sunday at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. That's the song service. Also, I'd like to say on behalf of the Reachville Church that we want to thank God for His blessings and His mercy for the past year. We thank Brother and Sister Prater for their kindness and fellowship. And we hope that each and every one of you that have been supporting us this year will feel that they've been treated in a way that they want to come back next year.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. We heartily endorse that. All hearts and minds satisfied by witness and grass, the Lord is most kind and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank thee, dear Lord, for this another day, this another year, and thy service. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the wonderful blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee, our Father and our God, that we can stand and feel stand justified by faith through Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank thee, dear Lord, for thy church, which is built in the ground with the truth. We thank you for the fellowship we have. Without it, you'll be here on this side of eternity. Lord, we pray thou will bless us to serve thee, to follow on, to know thee, to be little lights, testimonies of thy mercy, of thy grace here. Bless the church here at Greensville and these churches represented here, Lord, that they might be thy servants and witnesses of thy mercy and of thy grace. They might be little candles, as it was, sitting upon the mountain. Give forth this wondrous light of the justification by faith in Christ Jesus, which we learn through the gospel of our Savior. And now, our Father and our Lord, we pray thou wilt dismiss us in thy care. You be our strength and lead us in our light and darkness, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
this month? Anniversaries?
Yeah, I have anniversaries.
You have an anniversary?
Yeah, 61 years.
61?
Well, you have a lot of that. That's how they get the attention.
Any more birthdays? Well, we're just acknowledging that you have a more sister. Louise, from standing, hope you don't spend them all with us. We don't ask for a clap, we don't have to turn around.
You should go right and help her.
She should have time. preaches on the little TOD on what's the sale of the house of box.
Thank you.